Afterbuzzers and Oncers, it is a very sad day because this is our last after show for Once Upon a Time. We cannot wait to discuss this wonderful, tremendous, amazing series finale. They did us well and we got the happy endings we wanted. And we also have Rose Reynolds, Alice, in the studio, and she's going to give us all the juicy details. And we can't wait to talk about it, so stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Very loud.
Oh, this is so
sad. Oh my
sad.
God, they're gone already.
It's already coming. I'm gonna be fighting off tears this entire after show, guys, because this show has meant so much to me as a person, and I'm sure as it has meant to all of us and the fandom of it all, and we're so excited to be here to talk about this last episode. And we have amazing Rose Reynolds in the studio.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for having me. So happy to be here.
We seriously are huge fans of your character, and we're just so thrilled because you have been the main point of this entire season, which is so phenomenal, and you've done a phenomenal job.
Thank you so much. Of course, you really did. Before
we get into it, Steph Sabral, what's going on?
What's up, you guys? I'm sad, but you know I love Alice, so I'm more excited tonight than sad.
Lanisha Fisher.
Bittersweet feeling. I love that Rose is here, and you look gorgeous, girl.
Thanks, babe. So do you.
Yes. I'm just so sad that it's the last.
I know. I don't like this. Carolina Benetti won last time.
I'm so happy to be here with you guys. It hasn't hit me yet that we don't get to do this next Monday.
I know. But guys, Ally Nasta here, and we're really trying hard to get through this. We all watched it together. Lanisha didn't get to watch it with us, unfortunately.
Not.
But we had a lot of, aha moments and screams and gasps, and it was so amazing, and it was honestly everything we ever wanted. But before we get into overall thoughts, I wanted to kind of talk about our predictions from what we thought the season finale was going to happen. I think there was predictions about Wishram Henry dying. You, Steph, where did you predict? You predicted something
Molly
that was...
Sucked.
I was right about
yes.
him.
You guys, I was killing it on the predictions for once.
She got a lot of it. Like, when I was watching it, I was thinking in my head, I was like, ooh, Steph is getting it.
How did you think Maui's hurt? Why did you think that?
Because we knew it had to have a callback, and then as soon as we saw the globe, we were like, how are they going to break it? And then we started,
I was right about Wishram Henry, because you guys thought he was going to die, and I said, I think Regina will redeem him.
You're right, you did say that. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately did not, but I'm glad that he was redeemable, and it was crazy, because we got two Henrys, which was really fun.
I think it's kind of nice for her, because, like I said when we were watching it together, is that she gets this chance to, almost re-raise him in a way, because during his formative years, at where we see Henry now, she was embroiled in these fights with his mom and with his grandparents, and she was still doing a lot of evil deeds, and now she gets to parent again, and this time being, a fully fulfilled person who's learned to accept her darkness, which I think is kind of nice.
Well, Rose, did you have any idea, did you get to see the series finale before it aired live?
No, I didn't. So we all, as a cast and crew, we watched it in a restaurant in North Hollywood, which is really nice. So we got together for the last time to watch it. We ate tacos and just had it up on one of the big screens. And it was really, really special. Because when the ads would stop, then everyone would just go, shh, it's on again, everyone, put the taco down. So then we were watching it all together. And I'm glad that we did that as a kind of last hurrah all together.
Right. And I'm sure, were you guys surprised at all of things that happened? Or you kind of knew where it was
going?
No, because
we filmed
it.
So, we're in the show.
Well, I know it's kind
but
of...
But they cut scenes.
Yeah.
They did cut, exactly. Yeah, of course they did. But also the way it's edited... Oh.
We can't hear you as well as we'd want.
Sorry. I feel like I'm flying a plane. It's funny to see what makes the final edit in the kind of final cuts. But it's also because I saw the final scoring of the music for that episode as well.
Oh, nice.
So that was really moving, seeing it all pieced together. And I hadn't seen the Robin proposal scene. Well, not like the request for the proposal. Yeah. So watching that being scored with music, I'm gone. I'm out. That's it. And just seeing like Tiara's little face up there asking Colin's permission to marry me. So that was really, really special.
Oh my gosh.
That was my favorite scene of that. We freaked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were like, yes!
Did you see it coming? Did you think it might be on the cards? No?
Okay. I did not. But I honestly, after the proposal, that was my favorite because she's like, all right, you're not dying today, okay?
When you said you're going to walk it down the aisle, I was like, oh my god.
I was like, he's dying.
I know. And then he screams as he runs. Oh, it's great. It's really great.
We've loved you guys as a couple, you and Robin.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Been one of our favorites, and we do this thing called the dynamic duo, and you guys are always there to kind of come in for the scene stealer and there to save the day. And you guys were there this episode in order to save the day and go to Storybrooke and kind of bring the older versions of these characters back mm-hmm. to the reality of you guys are in this curse.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that was such a crazy realization when we had Robin talking to Zelina and being like, that's me. I'm her grown up.
I know. That was really freaky. Yeah. Yeah, with little Robin in the car as well, and you've got this kind of crossover, and when you've got the two Henrys, it's like, it's crazy. Yeah.
So crazy.
We were taken aback when you guys first got to the town, and the dwarves all started chasing you. We were like, what? What? They need help.
Yeah. But it's because I guess they're under attack. They've been under attack before, so they know to kind of be aware of us. So yeah, that was a really fun scene to shoot.
I was going to ask you, what was it like being in Storybrooke?
Oh my God, it was so super special. And being there, you really get a sense of the history of all previous six seasons before us.
Yeah.
And having the kind of crowds there in their kind of droves. And you go, what's going on? This place is obviously super special. And then you see Gold's pawn shop and you see the library and you see all these iconic places that you've seen in the pilot. And it was mm-hmm. just, it was incredible. And then to do scenes with Archie and like Beverly, who plays Granny, and all of this stuff. It was just super cool.
Really cool.
And then for people who may not know, Storybrooke is actually a real place. They filmed that in a town?
Yeah. So it's in Steveston in Vancouver, BC. And while we were filming, like our final shooting day there, they announced that every year on that date, I can't remember the day in May, I think it is, but that date is officially Once Upon a Time Day in Steveston.
Oh!
Which is super special, yeah. And the mayor of Steveston came out and Lana was there to receive the award and like everything like that.
The
so
mayor
yeah,
and the mayor,
wow.
Yeah.
The mayor meets the mayor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was super special. Yeah, so that day, I'll find out what it is, but that day is officially Once Upon a Time. Upon a Time Day in Steveston.
I'm getting all choked up.
I know.
Time did so much to revolutionize princesses and the way little girls see princesses and how self-sufficient all these women were, and they're so different from the stories that we got to read growing up. Yeah. So I'm so sad. Yeah. It's over.
Once Upon a Time writers did an excellent job with the women characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're super, super strong. They don't write like weak women on Once Upon a Time, which is super exciting. And being a part of that has just been incredible. It really has. Yeah.
Well, we have loved every piece of seeing Alice's character kind of grow and flourish and become what we saw her at the end of the season. But really quick, we need to get into Rumple and how his plan kind of was flushed out this episode. And we saw he wanted to trap all of these characters into their own storybooks, which is basically like their own jail cell.
Biggest nightmare to be alone.
He wanted everyone to be alone just like him.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely insane. I wanted to know what was going through your minds when you realized like this. They are all going to be trapped away from each other. And, like, our whole... I was a little nervous. I'm like, if they get trapped in these and this is how it ends or something like that, like, I would die.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, Allie, I was screaming at the screen, get it together, Henry! Get it together!
Wonderful.
I was like, I think I gasped and I looked at both of you and I was like, you guys, this is my biggest nightmare, is to be completely alone.
Yeah.
And I got really upset. I was like, that is the worst.
I'm glad the show elevated the evilness like a little bit more than the past seasons, because I mean, in real story books, these characters are really evil. So we saw Henry get really, really creepy, which I hated. I hated him, but he did a really good job.
He was
with
so
it.
Cocky, wasn't he? He was so arrogant. I was like, Jared, what are you doing? Stop.
I know, because you really believe that. I'm like, oh my God, I would be so mean to you if I saw you in person.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're good.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it was almost frightening because you're thinking, you know, you're seeing obviously Lana there with Henry, and you're like, wait a second, this is not something we've ever seen, is this anger in his eyes.
Yeah.
And the way that she had to kind of turn him around to remember that Rumple is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, Gold isn't, but Rumple is, and he wants the worst for everyone. Mm-hmm. And Henry was almost going to help him make that happen.
Yeah, yeah, like when he was asking, why should I trust you? I said, why should you trust Rumple? Out of all people you trust?
Yeah.
It's yeah. so
that's
true.
The one time I would profile if I saw someone like Rumple, I'd be like, I should probably stay away from you.
Like, nah, not for yeah. me.
No.
Never else.
Wait, but can I say something really quick before we skip over it because I have anxiety about it?
What?
Where the hell did that house come from in the snow globe?
Right.
I have so many. I went back. She's before angry. I rewatched it. I'm not angry. I like went back before I rewatched the finale and I watched the episode before. There's no house. And then all of a sudden they're in the cold, but they get a house.
I know.
Who made the house?
Yeah. It's magic. I don't know.
They were
whenever
out
we
magic.
Had questions about a plot line or a story like Hole or something, we'd ask our on set producer Helga and she'd be like, it's magic. And I was like, Helga, that's not an answer.
But that is the official answer.
But that's the official answer, yeah. So it's magic. The house was there because of magic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Great. The house that he wanted them to, the snow globe that he wanted them to slowly freeze to death in, but he gave them a house.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they could cook.
With which you pointed it out too, which was really funny, because Cinderella and Lucy were at the fireplace and he's like, oh, let's get blankets for you guys. And she's like, they're warm. What do you think?
Yeah, we were all like freaking out when we saw the house and we're like, what? Like, are you kidding me?
They had a house this whole time?
And no, they did not have a house the whole time. Yeah.
And then you see Nook and you see Rumpa, like Weaver outside freezing their asses off. It's like, go inside the house.
There's a fireplace and food.
Hey, just go. Yeah.
Which was, it was really interesting to kind of see how all of those characters did come together, especially yes. Hook and Rumple.
Yeah.
Because it goes to show that all of these characters, you know, have had their trials and tribulations, and
yeah.
they've gone through a lot of struggles, but they've all been subject to redemption and
yeah.
being able to redeem themselves,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
which is a huge character that I think everybody in life needs to realize that everybody can be redeemed at one time or another. And this show kind of gives us hope for that.
Yeah.
And I just found it a really great moment that we see Rumple sacrifices his life in order to save Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was crazy. Like, their
that
arc
had me choked up.
Was yeah. crazy.
Yeah.
He told him, you were my only friend.
Yes.
That really got me. And
me
then
too.
He cared about his friend so much, he gave him his own heart so he could be with his daughter. I was wrecked.
Yeah. Which was crazy.
Was
yeah,
writing.
Me too. It really was. It really was. It was really special.
And I think the craziest part about it is that, you know, Rumble or Gold or Weaver, whoever we want to say in this storyline, he did so much to try to figure out how he could get to Belle. And really the end of the story was, you don't need to get back to her. You're already on your way. And like being able to sacrifice yourself and now getting rid of that bigger power
mm-hmm.
ended up giving you the happy ending that you wanted.
Yeah. Because it was so genuine.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't trying to have one obligation and be selfish.
Right.
And say, okay, I want Belle. I'm going to do anything I want. For me and Belle, I don't care about anybody.
He yeah. finally separated himself from the coward that he was so afraid of being again.
And what a great job they did on her dress.
Yes.
Her dress was
on the final
great.
Belle dress.
Yeah.
The yellow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Another great piece of writing was the fact that Nook tried to use his hook to break through, but
yes.
it wasn't the right hook.
No.
They had to send over Maui's hook,
yeah.
and then they threw in another hook pun at the end, and I was like, you're just getting thrashed. Your hook is not the right hook.
Let's talk about that for a second, because obviously the hook showed up and when you were in the tower.
Yeah.
And that, we were all wondering, like, that's too big of a piece to throw in there to not tie back to it. So I think that's, Steph made an amazing prediction with saying that that's what was going to be what helped them, and I just thought it was crazy how they were able to tie that all in together.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they did it phenomenally, and that's what helped them get out of the glass bubble, and that's what helped lead them to their happy endings.
The only thing we didn't get was The Rock.
Oh, yeah.
No. The Rock?
Matt.
Dwayne Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Because we were talking about Moana.
Jokes, like,
oh, yeah.
We were like, I mean, why not have him come on if it was keep going? We were, like, hoping.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Maybe just season 8. Just
throwing it out there. You never know.
Yeah.
Well, it's done now.
Oh, sorry, babe.
Wait. We had all... No, that's all right.
Well, dude, how about just a spin-off with The Rock?
We wouldn't watch it, yeah, right?
Right?
I feel like he's so jolly. He would probably maybe do it.
I think so. He'd
like an action-packed Maui. The guy is fighting, like, flying squirrels, so why not?
Yeah, he could do it.
It's a wolf or what? It gets weirder for him. But anyways, yeah.
He could be down, I think so.
I feel like he'd be down. Yeah.
Definitely.
Once upon a time, the radioactive action franchise movie. Maui.
I'm flexing.
Versus the whale. Yeah,
every scene
Pinocchio.
Is just him just doing the peck thing up and down.
Yeah. Same to save the day.
Oh my gosh, funny. And then throwing you happy. oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it was funny because obviously this last episode felt like it was so long, but really because all the pieces that came together, the only thing I can think of is the happy ending that we got for everyone. And then obviously the wedding that is to come for Alice.
Well, the proposal as well. That's still, she's got the permission. We haven't seen the proposal even. Yeah. So yeah.
I know.
So yeah, Alice and Robin, their story's still to be told. Yeah.
Yeah, we need a spin-off of that. That's something that we would really love. Yeah.
It's probably what they're going to do a spin-off of Once Upon a Time is Over.
Actually,
but
if they did a spin-off.
And The Rock
out
marries
of
us. He's coming back.
He's your minister. Yeah.
That would have been the best Maui. Wedding ever.
Maui the minister.
Yes.
There was a question in the chat about Rock. They call you guys Rabbit Hood.
There's so many names for us, by the way. I kind of can't keep up.
Yeah, I know they love you guys.
And also, ship was something that I had never heard of before I joined the show. So when people were saying, I ship you and things like that, I was going, thank you. I think that's, do you want to put me on a ship?
It's not like, really a compliment.
Am I sailing? What's going on? And then someone had to explain it to me. And I was like, oh, okay. So thanks very much. That's awesome. But we've got Rabbit Hood. We've got Wonderbow.
Ooh.
We've got Mad Archer, and I think we've got Bunny Hood as well. I think there's very
Bunny Hood.
Bunny Hood, yeah, that's the gangster G.
I kind of really like it.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Bunny Hood taking the stage. Yeah. Bunny Hood is taking the stage.
It's a bit Coachella kind of, like, yeah. I see it.
Donna Brooks in the chat, though, says, please ask Rose, were there any Rabbit Hood related scenes that were deleted that you had shot and were really cool between you guys? Or did we get the representation?
I think you got most of it, yeah. I think you don't see a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, which is a shame. Because, you know, when Rumpel is spying, Goldweaver,
yeah.
Rumpel, when Gold is spying on us at our house, or my house in the woods, we're in the background, just kind of, we don't have any lines, we don't have anything. But we got given a tea spread with biscuits and things like that, which was so nice.
Oh,
but what you don't see is that I'm constantly trying to feed Tierra biscuits. And she's like, Rose, no more biscuits. Okay, we're not even on camera right now. I'm just like, one more. So that's like, you don't see the behind the scenes stuff, but I think in terms of scenes and stuff that's actually written, I think we got most of it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, when you say biscuits, for clarification,
oh, sorry, cookies.
You mean cookies.
I do. Yeah.
I knew what you meant, but I know that people listening are going to think it's a biscuit.
I get in trouble so much with the different translations with like where I'm from, and like, because for me, pants mean different things than actual my trousers. So when I went to a convention recently, mum was talking to me about like what I was going to wear and things like that, and I said, oh, I think I'm just gonna wear my trousers, and oh, mum, I can't say trousers because they won't know what I mean, so I think I'll just say pants. And she said, well, I hope you're wearing pants, because to me pants means underwear.
Oh my gosh.
So she's like, please wear pants. And I was like, yeah, it means something different, mum, just move on. So I get in trouble with all the different translations of everything.
That is amazing.
I did not know that.
Pants, underwear,
that is so
cookies,
I love it.
Biscuits.
America would just skip a step. It's like, we didn't need that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, too good. Well, we want to get a little into your character and Alice and how that kind of came about. So what was the first script or something that you were given that you kind of were able to be introduced to this character before you auditioned?
Before I auditioned?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing at all. I didn't even know I was auditioning for Alice when I got the sides. So sides, for people who don't know, you get your script scenes. Mm-hmm. So you don't even get a full script. And the script scenes that I got, the character's name was Carol, which I now know is a kind of a pseudonym for Lewis Carroll, which I didn't at the time, which is super cool. And then I had my scene, which was actually Jefferson's scene from season 1. So I just, I kind of read the scene and I was like, this kind of sounds familiar, but whatever. And then I did the scene with my friend Tom in his bedroom and it was a self-tape. So I put myself on tape and then just sent it off. And with self-tapes and things, you don't tend to hear anything, if ever. So I sent it off, didn't hear anything. And then I started to watch Once Upon a Time Again. I was like, hold on, that's my scene. That's the scene I just put on tape. What? And he's the Mad Hatter. And then I emailed my manager and I said, did I just audition for Alice in Wonderland? And they were like, I don't know, let me just double check. And they got back to production and they said, did she audition for Alice? And they said, yeah. So I was like, oh, that's super, super cool. And then I wanted it even more. And I was like, oh, now I have to wait. It's a waiting game. And you sometimes you just don't hear.
So you did know that you were auditioning for Once Upon a Time, though.
I did, yeah, I did, yes.
Wrong show.
So I knew that at least. But I didn't know what the character was or anything like that. And then I didn't hear for ages, maybe 2 weeks. And my manager said, do you know anyone in Vancouver or LA? And I said, no, I don't, because I was living in London at the time. And they said, okay, well, if you don't know anyone in LA or Vancouver, this isn't going to go any further. They need someone who's kind of local and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, damn, okay. And then I remembered that I've got family in Vancouver. I'm a massive family. My mom's one of six. So I said, just tell them I've got family in Vancouver. And then they said, great, it worked. You've got the part.
What?
And then I had to ring my Vancouver family and say, I know we met once. Can I come and live with you? So I didn't even have a number. And I had to email my cousin Eliza and say, hey, I've just been offered this part on Once Upon a Time. They're looking for someone who lives in Vancouver. Obviously, I don't. You do. Let's hang out.
Yeah.
And she said, of course, family's family, come on over. But it's really funny, when she picked me up from the airport, she had to Google me to remember what I looked like. And then as soon as I got off the airplane, I had to ring my mum and say, mum, which one's Eliza again? Like, what's going on? So I lived with them for 2 months while I was in Vancouver, which was amazing. But it was kind of living with strangers.
Yeah.
Because it was, I'd only met her the one time. But it was so great to have a base and family in Vancouver for the first 2 months. And then I moved downtown for the rest of it.
So as a result, you guys must be closer now.
We're super close now. Yeah. It's really great. Yeah. She's, but I was like, so thankful for
my
that.
Family's famous.
I know. Yeah. Well, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here, which is incredible. So right. I'm super, super grateful for my family.
So you got two families out of it. You're like family? Blood family.
Oh, my once family.
Yeah.
That is one thing you never get used to as an actor, because you form such attachments with people and jobs, especially theatre jobs as well, because you spend months at a time developing a character and things like that.
Yeah.
But I will really miss this show in particular for the people that I've met, because, you know, it's just one of those things when you finish a job. I'm going to go back to the UK, so I won't see people this side of the world for maybe some time. Also, life gets in the way. Like, people have families, they have obligations, they have all of these things. So it's one thing that you never quite get used to as an actor, just kind of having this family, as you say, and then kind of going, I'll see you when I can. So it's extremely difficult, really.
But you are living with one once member.
Yes, I did. I'm living with Tierra Scobie at the moment. So
the cutest thing ever.
So me and Robin Hood are shacking up. So that's going on.
That, again, means something different in the United States.
No, I think it means the same, actually.
Oh, do you meant it that way?
I think so. Let's digress. So we're living together. We've been here for about a month now, and then we've got two more weeks. She's from Vancouver, so she'll go back to Vancouver. But yeah, we got an amazing place in LA that we're staying in, and it's been a dream. Yeah, we've had so much fun.
That's so fun. I just love hearing these stories, and we talk about this every time, about how amazing the cast is and how everybody that's even been new that stepped onto set has been like, they've welcomed me with open arms.
Well, this is the thing, like I was saying to you guys just before we came on, is that like, they're such generous actors and generous people that, yeah, we're new, like Andy, Tierra, and whoever else was new this season. We kind of felt accepted into the Once family kind of unconditionally. And it was just super, super nice. And it was something we weren't possibly expecting. Like, and to be accepted like that very early on and with kind of no questions asked was a bit like super special, really. And to meet people like that and to be, to have them be so generous with us was, super, super kind.
Oh, I love it so much.
And we were taught so much by them as well. Like, my first scene was with Bobby. And, like, I remember the energy that he brought on set. So my first scene, I think, of the whole season was, you know that scene in the pilot when he's dunking someone's head in a barrel?
Yeah.
It's like a 2-minute scene. And I remember him arriving on set and him, like, the energy on set just changed. Just, like, I was, like, I turned around for a second. I was, like, ooh, something's different here. And it was just that he'd walked on set. And he's just got this presence and this kind of commanding presence about him. And then he comes, I'm such a geek for him because, like, I've grown up with Trainspotting and, like, The Beach and all of these amazing films that he's been in. And then he just comes towards me and he goes, hi, Bobby. And you shake his hand and it turns out I'm his sidekick, which is, like, super, super cool. But, yeah, another generous, generous actor and, yeah.
Did Hook get you with his hook? We heard that
his hook?
He does a hook dance. Yeah. We heard.
No, what?
That's what
is that Emma hook? Yeah. I think that's only a private thing that those two have.
No, she said she would do it to people. He'd wait till you'd get into, like, a really serious mode and he would come up with his, like, fake hook it in your peripheral. So I didn't know.
No, I didn't have that, but I had his gun. I had the Rogers gun. So we'd be shooting a scene or something and he loved doing this. He would just reach, because he had the gun on him at all times. He just, like, just before a scene or just after a scene, he'd just pull it and go, everybody freeze! And he would scare us. And we're like, oh, Colin, not again! And so he just loved it. So I think maybe it's because a lot of my scenes in the beginning were Rogers and Tilly. Right. So I didn't get the hook for quite a while.
Oh, that's true.
So I just had, gun Colin.
For so quite he's a while. The prankster.
Oh my God, yes. 100% yes. Oh, the number one prankster, if anyone is, it's Colin O'Donoghue.
Oh, it just sounds like so much fun. I wish we could could join you guys or something on set. Speaking of being on set, and obviously this was the last episode and that magical scene at the end where everybody's coming together and Regina finally gets dubbed to be
the good queen.
That's when I said your prediction came true, Allie, because you kept saying that she doesn't need a man and it's going to be good.
Yeah, I was saying that, like, I think that she's going to finally get her happy ending no matter what it was. And what it was is that she was finally accepted for her.
Yeah.
She was accepted for being Regina. And even what, like, there we go again with another character getting redeemed. But I just kind of wanted to ask you about what was it like filming that last scene of everybody together? I mean, was there a dry eye in the house? Like, what was going on and what was that feeling?
It was super, super special. We filmed, so I wasn't there for the Jennifer Morrison days. Okay. She filmed hers separately. So it was everybody on my side of the room. So it's like we filmed that side of the room one day and then we filmed my side of the room because it was just so many of us. You know? But in terms of, like, everybody coming back, it's like we got to look back into the last seasons. So especially when the Charmings came back as well. Because Josh and Colin have such a great dynamic as well. And it's almost like you can see the bromance between those two. So you kind of got a window into what it must have been like seasons before. So that was super cool. And yeah, it was just, you could see that everyone got along and that everyone was excited to be back and to kind of say goodbye to their show. And it's been a part of their lives for 7 years. And it's just, but also, like, I know that you say it's bittersweet, but also it doesn't end, you know?
Yeah.
Once upon a time, it won't end now that we've finished filming, you know? I think the message of the show is of hope and of optimism and of carrying on. And that I think the show will carry on because the message is there. So I think that's what I felt on set for the final days. That it's just, it's an ongoing process.
I should have had you at the end just say that speech. And then I would have been like, I feel it. It's not ending.
No, it's not ending. It's not, though. It really isn't. Yeah.
Well, and that's the beauty of kind of this day and age of how everybody can stream different shows. Because there's been other shows like this that have gone on for, you know, 7 seasons. And there's generations now that are just reliving these shows that we might have lived 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think Once Upon a Time is one of those shows that as soon as someone starts to watch from season one and they can finish all the way up to season 7, it's something that really, it touches you in a way and it gives you that sense of, like, almost like it gives you a family as an audience member.
100%, yeah. And I've spoken to mothers who say they started watching it because of their daughters. And then, so they got into it because of their daughters. And you know that possibly those daughters are then going to show it to their daughters.
Yeah.
And, like, it's such a great thing for these daughters to watch strong, independent women living their lives, you know. So I think it's a good advocate of that.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. I can't, like, getting
stop it.
All
the no, Ali, it's great.
Stop it.
Positive optimism going forward.
But was there any super, like, what was your one of your favorite scenes out of the season to kind of shoot? Because you've had a lot of different character up and down, some struggles that you've gone through.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I wasn't meant to be around this long either. I was,
really?
Yeah, I wasn't. I was meant to have 5 episodes and then go home. So that's what I told everybody. So I found out I got this job on a Friday and then was flown out on the Monday to start on, I think, the Wednesday. So I had 2 days to pack my bags and fly on the Monday. And that's when the whole Eliza, can I come live with you situation happened. So that happened in a very short space of time. And I was signed on only for 5 episodes. So I told my family, my friends, my boyfriend back home, you know, I'll be home in 2 months max. And then April comes around and I'm still here. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing and something I really wasn't expecting. I also didn't bring winter clothes because I didn't think I'd be around that long. I didn't bring a coat. So I had to go home. When I had 1 episode off, I went home and packed up my room and everything in London and packed up all my bags and brought a coat and a scarf. Yeah. And then was settled in because I knew it was going to be until April, which is great. So I kind of was cherishing those first 5 episodes because I was going, this is it. This is all I've got. So better make the most of it. And then I've had so many post that, which is incredible. It's just a bonus. And I think you always remember the first episode you ever do, and you remember the last, because mm-hmm. those are really, really special. I love episode 4. For me, is a special, special one working with Bobby. That was a really special time for me. I think the Girl in the Tower episode for me, that scene where I'm talking to the troll, and saying goodbye to your past, saying goodbye to your kind of childhood and growing up, that was something that really resonated with me. And so I think that scene for me, and having Robin kind of as my cheerleader in the background, was something that was really, really profound for me. So I think, yeah, any of those episodes, but any with Colin and Bobby and anybody really.
Yeah.
I can't really pick one. I'll tell you which scene any scenes I disliked were where I had to eat.
Really?
Yeah. Because the thing is, with eating on set, you have to do it so many times, so many different ways and angles and all this stuff. What turns into a bite of a sandwich turns into 5 sandwiches, you know, by the end of it. And I don't actually like marmalade. So I am the black sheep in my family because my mom is a big family, lots of women. They all make marmalade during marmalade season. It's a massive thing. And mum tried to teach me how to make marmalade, and I really don't like the stuff. It's really bitter for me, so I'm such a disappointment to my female family. But yeah, and there was this one scene, I think it's actually made the bloopers, where I have to eat mochi balls, and I have to eat so many mochi balls, and I felt so sick. For those who don't know what mochi balls, they're kind of like these sweet kind of curd balls.
It's
they're like
a little Japanese treat.
Yeah,
it's like a dessert.
Yeah, they're like dessert kind of things, but they're so, so sweet. And they're so gloopy as well.
Yeah.
And so you take a bite, and I had to eat about 10 of those. So I think I regret any scene where it's written that I have to eat anything.
Oh my God.
I know that it's going to be 500 meals.
It like gets stuck in your teeth too.
Yeah, definitely the mochi balls as well. And I couldn't speak. And yeah, there were lots of outtakes that day. Yeah, many bloopers that day because I was just trying to speak. And I, of course, was on set with Andy and Colin as well, who were the worst for making you laugh. So
oh my God.
A face full of balls. Oh, can't say that. Wow. Face full of mochi balls.
We know what you mean.
Okay,
we
great.
Know
Translation. It's a British,
it's
great.
It's fine, we're fine.
Great, moving on.
Jumping back a little bit, just as you were talking about how you only thought you were going to do 5 episodes, Lanisha, you had a question about The Guardian and knowing.
Yeah, I was wondering if, like, did you ever suspect before the table read that you would be The Guardian?
No, not at all. No, not at all. And I didn't know I was going to be The Guardian because you only get the first episode we did as a table read. And then you get the episodes maybe 3-4 days before you start shooting. So I didn't know. And the only thing I knew before we started shooting was that I was going to possibly be a New Hook's daughter. That was all I knew. I didn't know who my mother was. I didn't know anything like that. So, yeah, that's all I knew.
They didn't tell you anything.
No, because they don't know either. Because the thing is, they because people are on different contracts as well, so they, like me, they didn't know that I'd be needed for more than five episodes. People's schedules change and all this stuff, so they can't they have to write it episode by episode. Of course, in their mind, they've got the arc that they want, but you know, it's all kind of up for change and up for grabs. So so I think they were maybe hoping The Guardian, but I didn't know about it until much, much later on.
How did you react when you found out that you were The Guardian, though?
It's a big deal, right? It's a lot of responsibility. I was like, this is super cool. Thanks. But then it meant that I got to work with Bobby even more. So I cherished it. It was great.
Nice.
Did you get to keep anything from your time as Alice and Tilly?
I did, yeah. I got in so much trouble for it, though. I took Tilly's costume at the end.
The whole costume?
No. Yes. so she's got some I shouldn't be speaking about this.
It's over, they can't come get you now.
I don't want to burn my bridges. I was having such a lovely time. So she's got a lovely nice pair of shorts, which I thought might be nice for the summer. I just took the shorts and some nice shoes that she has. She has some nice Doc Martens. But the Doc Martens were the ones that really got me in a lot of trouble. Oh, but you know what's really sweet is that inside it's got your character name. So it's kind of stuck on inside of the shoes or any clothes that you've got. So
I would have kept it too.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm not sure that makes sense. I know, but it's not sure it's right. But
I ask everybody who comes on if they kept anything, because I keep as much as I can.
Or do they say no?
Some people deny it nervously, and you know that they have a closet full.
Yeah.
And some people cop to it, yeah.
But I know, the reason I did it, I feel like I have to justify myself. The reason I did it is because I knew at the end lots of people were doing it. So I was like, oh, if they're doing it, I can do it too. But I don't think that's how it works. I think that's peer pressure.
It's okay.
I think that's not acceptable.
And you've got yours.
I know. Maybe one day I'll give it back, but I'll wear it for a little bit longer. Those shorts would be great in the summer.
Oh, yeah. In the summer.
Too good.
Yeah.
One quick question about this episode in particular was the scene where you're getting sucked into a portal.
Yes.
What are the portal scenes like? Is there a lot of fans?
So many fans. Yeah. So I posted a picture on my Instagram account of us being in. What is it that we're in? Kind of shackles. We're in
the harnesses.
Yeah. So that was, we did a rehearsal day, a rehearsal morning, Colin and me, where we were kind of just going through that process of being, because it was quite, you had to time it that you were moving down the table at a certain time, and then there are guys behind you with the holding the ropes, and then they pull your legs, and then you fly, which was super exciting. It really hurts though, because it's really, really tight on you, and you're being like pulled up. It was super, super fun though. When do you get a chance to fly? That's awesome.
Right.
So we did that a couple times and practiced it, and we were comfortable. And then on the day we had stunt doubles, and they did it a couple times, and then they were like, "Are you ready?" And Colin and I were like, "Yeah, of course. Yeah, let's do it," because we'd practiced the day before.
Yeah.
So it's a green screen situation, and they just, amazing special effects team afterwards, just edit all the portals in afterwards. But we have to mime the blowing kind of thing with fans.
Yeah.
So it's great that they're pulling my legs, otherwise it would look so rubbish. Me just going, oh, no, being sucked.
Do you really know what bad a fan acting. Caught, actually, is that the portals that they use in Once Upon a Time are the same ones that they used in Doctor Strange, which is why they look so phenomenal.
I was going to say, because they do.
ABC.
Yeah,
so they took the big budget movie portal and threw it into Once Upon a Time.
That's why they look so legit. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's the portal situation, and then they just edit it and they take out all the harnesses and stuff like that afterwards.
Very cool.
But yeah, so that's the portals.
Oh, I wish we could talk forever, but we're kind of running out of time, and it makes me really sad. Really quick, we wanted to talk about favorite moments that some of the Oncers that have tweeted us were their favorite memories of the entire series.
Sure.
So I wanted to give a quick shout out to Adam Morales, who said one of his favorites was way back in season one when Henry convinced his mom, Emma, that she was the savior. And I will say that was such an epic moment, and I think it actually brought me back to seeing how this season was definitely so much like season one, and we didn't realize how long it took Emma to believe. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened with Henry this season. But I think because we had been so far gone from and removed from the realization of, you know, the believer and the savior, that we just kind of forgot about that. But I loved that too, Adam. Thank you so much for saying that. And then also Holly Thebault, sorry if I mispronounce it, said, anytime Hook is on screen is my favorite. But number one is when Emma and Hook finally broke the tension and admitted their feelings and kissed. Love, love, love them. And I will say, I think we all can agree, that was a really great moment.
Yes, yes. Captain Swan.
Yes. And they finally were back this episode, which was amazing.
Oh my god, with the little pacifier on the hooks.
Yes,
oh.
That was hysterical. And died.
Yeah, beautiful. It's really beautiful. Yeah. Because that's what I wanted to ask. Do you feel everyone got their happy ending?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah.
Most I think definitely.
That, right? I think most people, all the ships.
Yeah.
I think they would be hopefully happy with what they
I like
were
that
the
they
end.
Ended it with hope and possibility. That now all the realms are together and the possibilities are endless.
100%.
So the stories are still going.
Exactly. They don't just stop there.
Sequel. Well, people are in the chat. They love you and Robin together. I mean, everyone is talking about how it should be a cultural icon. I think it just shows you the importance of representation, especially because you guys are not like a couple that we've seen. Like, they didn't try to force anything or make stereotypical assumptions about you guys. So they keep talking about a runoff of just you two would be good enough. But Ivan Soto, who loves this show, was asking if you enjoyed how it wasn't rushed, your relationship. It was built.
It was built. Because they had, what was it, Red Ruby Slippers or whatever. It was Dorothy and Red back in, which kind of was rushed, let's be honest, it was.
Yeah.
And so I really, I talked to Adam and Eddie about it and I was like, I really don't want this to be rushed. This is very important. And it's about time that this was kind of told really well across all platforms, you know, this kind of love story. Because it's just another love story, really. And I think in episode 4, I just flippantly say, oh, I had an ex-girlfriend. And I think it's not pointed or it's not kind of made into a massive thing of being gay. Alice is just gay. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool. And so that the fact that we get to see all of these, the fact that they go on a date, their first date, we see that. We see their first kiss and we see their progression. I think that was, really great. And it, as you say, it wasn't rushed, which is really important.
I thought a nice turning point was when you were by yourself at the bridge and she believed you.
Oh, yeah.
With the troll, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like when I, in Tilly, when we're Tilly and Margot, and I go back to her and I say, look, I just didn't want you to see me in my bad days. And she's like, it's never going to be too much to me, so don't worry about it.
Yes.
It's unconditional.
Don't worry. You're good.
I know, but like that, it was so fun to see the mirrored image of you guys in the wish realm or whichever realm you guys were in, plus the real world, and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
The circumstances or the struggles that you guys went through, you were in love through and through.
And they're not perfect people, which I really like. You know, if they're perfect people, no one is perfect, then you can't resonate with them so much. You can't connect with them. Right. And so to see their struggles and to see them go through all of these things and that they've got each other and they help each other through it, it's real and it's honest and it's really beautiful. So it was great.
Definitely beautiful. Yeah.
this is too much. I don't want this to end.
No.
Before we get into Character Corner, I do want to ask you, Rose, do you have any future projects coming up that you're allowed to discuss with us?
Not at the moment that I can discuss.
Okay.
I will be going home back to the UK in a couple of weeks. I haven't been home in a long time. So my first point of call is just a recharge, see my family, see my friends. And see my hometown. So that's what's up first.
We're so excited for you. And
thank
this
you
has
so
been
much.
So lovely. Really quick, we are going to do Character Corner on Alice in Wonderland. Carolina, take it away.
Yes, our final Character Corner ever, you guys, is going to be for Rose on Alice in Wonderland.
Get out of here!
Yeah!
You guys.
So Alice was originally written by Henry Little, and he was a classical scholar, and he originally told the story on a summer day to his three daughters in July of 1862, which led to the published Through the Looking Glass in November of 1865 under the pseudonym of Lewis Carroll. Fun facts. Number one, Alice shares a birthday with real Alice, Henry Liddell's daughter, of May 4th. Queen Victoria enjoyed the story so much that she asked Henry Little to dedicate his next book to her, and he did. Mock turtle soup is real. It was a popular thing that people actually ate during the Victorian era. And fun fact, the names of the three little sisters in the Dormouse's story, Elsie, Lacey, and Tilly, also refer to the names of the three real sisters.
Tilly, that's like cool. Such a great...
Yes. Yeah. So five, the novels were banned in China in 1931 because of humans talking to animals.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. There have been many incarnations of Alice, which have taken place throughout theater productions, animated films, TV shows, and films. Disney's animated classic is a huge hit, Alice in Wonderland, which many are familiar with, especially here in the States. Also, in the 80s and 90s, there was an Alice Through the Looking Glass TV show on Disney Kids. There's also Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, which is personally my favorite. Yes. I love it. Yes, the Mad Hatter party.
Yeah.
And then Once Upon a Time did a full spinoff of Alice in Wonderland, which I read you didn't watch because you didn't want it to affect your performance.
Nope, yeah.
That's good.
And now we have our Alice on Once Upon a Time.
Rose! Oh, you guys!
You actually gave me a really good bit of advice or a bit of information before we came on about Alice, the theater production that had gone on.
Yeah, there's a theater production called Peter and Alice about 80-year-old Alice meeting Peter Llewellyn Davis. And I don't know when it was, but they met each other. So there's a kind of Peter Pan, Alice correlation together.
Oh, I love that!
So that makes Alice and Hook even more weird.
More relatable, yeah. Yeah.
I would love to see
that. It's a great
that.
Play. It's a really great play.
Oh, I love that.
I'm
going to
look
so
for
much.
It now. I want to
John
read
Logan.
It.
Yeah. It's really great.
That's
yeah.
amazing. You and know, when I was little, I thought that Alice in Wonderland was Alice in Wonderland. Like, Allison Wonderland. Oh,
yeah.
My name's Allison.
She's awesome, too, though. But I was have you seen her live?
I haven't read. I couldn't read yet.
You know what I think song. About Allie? Because I think about Alice and Tilly. Yeah. Allie. I just think,
because I love them so much. I love them so much. Yeah. Which, I love you guys. And we love the Once World. And yes. We love every single one of you fans for watching our after show every day and helping us get to chat about one of our favorite shows. And we're so appreciative. And, please don't let the conversation stop. We'll still tweet you and have fun and chat about all the memories that this show has brought to us, because I know it holds a special place in every one of our lives, and it's been a friend to all of us, and we thank you and the cast for everything and all the hard work and the hours that everyone has put into this show to make it what it is.
No, thank you.
And so no thanks can be enough, and no appreciation for everybody in this community can be enough, and we're so thankful, and we love you guys, and this has been so much fun, and I just can't believe it's coming to an end.
I just want to say
Allie, you're so beautiful.
You're
so gorgeous. I can't even.
I'm not looking at her.
All of you.
No one can speak after that. Like, Carolina obviously can because she's equally great, but that was just a lot for me.
I was like, she just said it all.
Sorry, guys. Carolina, hurry before we
keep
it around.
No, I just want to say how much I love you guys, and I'm so glad that we got to spend 22 episodes together doing
please
this.
Please stop right now.
I'm going to miss you guys.
Well, we love you guys. We love the fandom, and we love you, Rose,
thanks
Tilly,
so much,
Alice. Where can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. Amazing. Do I do this Rose- now, where it, comes across?
Rose Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen, and Steph Zabra, where can they find you on social media?
Instagram and Twitter, at Steph Zabra, and like Ali said, do not stop talking to us, you guys.
Yeah.
Lanisha Fisher.
I will miss each and every one of you guys. I'm not lying. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lanisha, spelled L-A-N-I-S-H-A 914. I'm trying.
Carolina Vanetti.
Hey guys, I'm Carolina Vanetti. You can find me on Twitter at Carolina Vanetti and on Instagram at LenaBean113.
And hey guys, Allie Nasta here. Find me on Twitter at Allie Nasta and on Instagram at Allie Girl. We love you all so much, and we love the Once World. And this isn't goodbye, it's see you later. Bye guys.
Oh my god.
Bye.
Bye. Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.